This morning, our psalm reading comes from Psalm 99. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The king is mighty, he loves justice, you have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, he is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them, he spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, we do praise you and bow humbly before you. We pray that you will speak to our hearts through the power of your Spirit, and that you will enlighten our hearts and minds. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom to gather with you today and to learn your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Old Testament scripture this morning comes from Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. This is the word of the Lord. You know, we are a lot like Moses, you and me. You may wonder how in the world I can say that. I mean, after all, Moses was this man who encountered God personally in the burning bush. He was this great man of God who led God's people out of slavery and out of Egypt. He was the man that God entrusted to receive the Ten Commandments and bring them safely down from the mountains. He was a man who made a covenant with God and led the people of Israel to the promised land. So how can I possibly say that we are like Moses? I say that because just like you and me, Moses was reluctant to accept God's challenge to lead. He didn't think he was capable. He didn't think he had the characteristics necessary to be God's appointee. But God knew better. God knew better. He knew that through guidance and personal obedience, Moses could be the leader that he was destined to become. He could be the one who was able to hear and discern God's voice. He could become one who trusted God and who God trusted in return. So yes, Moses was a lot like you and me. The question now that you and I must be willing to ask ourselves is this: are we willing to accept that same type of responsibility that comes from being in relationship with God and in trusting God? Obviously, if the Lord is willing to trust us in return, then we are expected to live up to that trusting relationship. And we are not talking here about a relationship with a friend or a neighbor or even a spouse. We are talking about our relationship with the God of Abraham, the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, as we heard in the Old Testament, the God of all creation. You know that in last week's scripture, we found that God was upset with the people of Israel, and he was rightly upset with them. After all, the Lord had done for them and for all that he was willing to do, they had turned their backs on him again. When Moses had left for some time to go up the mountain to receive the tablets containing the covenant, the people built a golden calf and began to dance around and worship it. You recall from last week's reading, it said in Exodus 32 that God said to Moses, "I have seen these people, and behold, they are a stiff-necked people." And that word in Hebrew that says stiff-necked, it means stubborn. They are stubborn people. "And now therefore leave me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may consume them." But again, Moses intercedes for the people, even though he is plenty angry himself. He implores God, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin." Yes, even the people then wanted to obey God. They wanted to cast aside false idols, but they were so human. The inspiration and guidance of Moses left them for a short while, and they resorted back to creating idols, and they danced and sang and worshiped before a golden calf. God instructs the Israelites to go to the promised land, go to a land flowing with milk and honey. "But I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way." So now Moses is instructed to lead this group of stiff-necked, stubborn people to the promised land. But he is terrified by the thought of leading them without the presence of the Lord. He beseeches the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" That's what Moses is asking of the Lord. And the Lord's response is incredible. It is a response of the forgiving and loving and compassionate God that we are eager to know and to worship. The Lord said, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." So So you see, God was angry at the people who had created and worshipped an idol, but he relented because of Moses, the one who was in the Lord's favor and who knew God and God knew him by name. Moses went a step further, however. Not only did he want God's presence to be with him and the people of Israel, but he asked to see God's glory. And that would be the intimate radiance and majesty of God, sort of like coming face to face with God. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. And the Holy One said, "All my goodness will pass by you, and I will even proclaim the name Yahweh, the Lord, but you shall not see my face." God tells Moses that the people will see his back after all of God's goodness has passed by. Moses wanted to see God's face. God said, "You will see my back." Now understand what this is saying. Even in experiencing God's presence and all of the goodness of the Lord, Moses wanted more. He wanted to see the glory of God. He wanted to see God's face. So when in our lives have we wanted to see God's face? When have we needed that ultimate assurance of God's presence to get us through a difficult time? Was it when we lost a loved one? When we lost a job? When we got bad news from the doctor? When we felt lonely and forgotten? Or was it when we felt God guiding us in a particular direction, but we were afraid of the risk? If only we could see God's face, then we would know for sure. There would be no risk because we would see God's face. I know from personal experience, I wanted to see God's face when I was feeling called to ministry later in life. I wanted to know that that was truly God's call and not just some fantasy of my imagination. But I could not see God's face. All I had was the sense of God's presence. And God would not reveal his face because God expected me to step out in faith. Rather than showing me his face, God indeed did show me his presence. I was surrounded by God's goodness as doors opened and I moved forward. And so it is for all of us. God leads us. Those who experience God's presence and glory know that the Lord is leading. And when we know that the Lord is leading, then our faith grows. And so as it says, again, in Exodus 33, in verses 21 through 23, it says, "Then the Lord said, 'There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen.'" We realize, you and me, that by seeing God's back, indeed, what we're doing is we are following. We cannot see the Lord's face if we are following. And indeed, that is the proper place when we are acknowledging a sovereign, majestic, and righteous God who gives us every reason to believe and every assurance to trust. We sense God's presence. We see his back. And we are in the proper place because we are following. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. We sing praises to you, O God, for you have been gracious to us amid the storms of life. We do battle with many enemies within and among us, but you give us confidence and courage to face them. Out of the whirlwind, you answer when we call. We have gathered to listen for the voice we sometimes cannot hear in the daily clamor of our lives. Help us to discard the unnecessary obstacles that keep us from the fullness of life you intend for us. O Lord, those who turn to you now, we pray that you will give us the assurance of your presence. And help us, Lord, to know that indeed you are leading and that we are following. We are grateful, Almighty God, for the many reasons we have to celebrate. But we also know that there are those among us who have special needs. We lift all of these to you, Lord, names that we have mentioned, the names of Janie and Jane and Mark and Jennifer and Janet. Lord, we pray that they indeed will feel your presence. We pray that you will touch their lives and help them to feel your very special presence each and every day. Lord, we are bowing before you, recognizing that you are an awesome God, the one who has shown us how to live in joy and peace. And may we now have the courage to trust you, and may we truly seek that joy and peace by transforming our lives. We pray all of this in the name of your beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.